You're listening to The Whole Truth, a Resources Rising Stars podcast.
Until recently, silver was considered the poor cousin of gold, perhaps one of the most boring commodities in the complex. How things are rapidly changing. In this edition of The Whole Truth podcast, we chat with Peter Kraut. He's a highly regarded analyst in the silver market. He was the author of a book, The Great Silver Bull, he published in 2022. And in this episode of the podcast, he discusses why he thinks we are on the cusp of one of the great spikes in the silver price. He says, in effect, there is a perfect storm brewing here. On the supply side of the equation, mine production is falling, inventories are running down. At the same time, demand for silver is booming thanks to its use in solar panels. He says that we're probably 12 to 24 months away from an almighty explosion in the silver price as this supply-demand equation comes to collide. This is a great episode of the Whole Truth podcast because it front-runs the silver market. It suggests from one of the greatest experts in the world that we're on the cusp of a great opportunity for investors. I think you'll get a lot out of this. Peter, are we witnessing the start of the next great silver bull market?
I certainly think so. I mean, there are several reasons why the silver price is running. And I think one of the best indications that we have of a start to a precious metals bull market is gold is hitting new all-time highs. One of the sort of last indicators that I like to watch is gold hitting all-time highs in all of the major currencies. There was one last holdout, despite the U.S. dollar actually making it there for, before that last holdout. That was the Swiss franc. And about a month ago, or a little bit less, gold hit a new all-time high in the Swiss franc as well. And so I think that tells us, at least that's one very strong indicator, that we are in a brand new bull market, probably one that's going to be sustained for some time.
A brand new bull market for precious metals, or a brand new bull market for silver, or both?
For both, absolutely. I mean, you know, gold is the first to run. Silver follows with a lag. Gold is up about 28% since October. Silver is up a little bit more, 30%. But if you look in the last, say, month and a half or so, since late February, silver has been rising faster. It's really catching up quickly. That's a bit of a hallmark for silver in a precious metals bull market. And, you know, silver's a bit of a unique hybrid metal. It's both money and it's an industrial metal. And it's become more of an industrial metal in the last few years. I think that's mostly because of its unique properties. It's really the best heat and electrical conductor. All of the other metals are actually compared to silver's ranking of 100 on those measures. And really demand has soared in the last few years, and that's being driven by growth from different areas we can get into.
Yeah, so let's explore the industrial uses, because there is obviously growing commentary around this theme that you just raised, Peter, about silver breaking away from gold. It's been primarily a precious metal driven price. It, as you say, it follows gold. There's a lag, but it will go by and large along the same path. Whereas there's a lot of commentary now, I think, Peter, that silver is breaking away from gold in many respects. It's charting its own course on the back of its growing industrial use. How do you see the demand in an industrial sense for silver beginning to change?
So absolutely, silver has become in the last several years more and more of an industrial metal. The demand from things like solar panels, from electric vehicles, even investment demand, but especially on the industrial side, as I say, solar and EVs, electronics, for example, as well, all robust growth. I like to say that the 800-pound gorilla in this market, in the silver market, is solar. The rate of growth has been tremendous. It's now the largest single industrial use application for silver. It's nearly tripled in the last 10 years. And it has recently reached 20% of all of silver demand now going to solar exclusively.
So, Peter, we know that the vast majority of solar panels, particularly in Australia, come from China, virtually exclusive exclusively. So what does that say to us about who's buying the silver?
Well, it's certainly China. There's no question about that. As you say, 80% of global production is out of China. You know, an interesting anecdote, I was speaking at a mining conference just recently to a large silver producer, and he told me in confidence that they sell half their production approximately to China, the other half goes to the West, and the Chinese are just very, very anxious buyers. They are prepared to pay 2 weeks in advance. They're willing to pay up to $3 over the spot price. The market is, they can sense it, the market is extremely tight. And, you know, you've got solar moving towards new technologies. And that's, these technologies are actually requiring anywhere from about 50% for the next most common technology and up to 150% for the technology that is likely to follow on from that next one. So 50 to 150% more silver per solar panel. You may be asking, well, why would you put more silver into a solar panel? And it's the economics. Those panels actually produce more energy. They're more efficient. And the extra cost that the silver implies is certainly worthwhile.
What's China's domestic production here of silver, Peter?
Oh, they are, it's somewhere around, I believe it's about 80 to 100 million ounces a year. They're very close to tied with Peru for number two. Many like to or say, I'm going to admit I'm in that camp. We have difficulty sort of being confident of the numbers coming out of China. So for all intents and purposes, they are essentially in a number two place tied with Peru, but they are both far behind Mexico, who's around 170 million ounces per year, far and away the leader worldwide for silver production. So I'm quite confident all of China's own silver production does not leave its borders. They need everything that they produce and then some. So they are big consumers of even their own output of silver.
So when you say they need everything they can produce and then some, how much is the then some? How much do they need to import to meet their current consumption?
I've got to say, those numbers, I don't know offhand how much China actually imports. I can only imagine that given their levels of production and dominating the solar industry, it has to be in the tens to hundreds of millions of ounces. There's no way that what they produce domestically is anywhere close to enough. If we figure that, we could actually make some pretty good estimates. So if China, let's say, produces about 80 million ounces a year, solar requires 20% of all output, of all silver output per year. That's about 200 million ounces or so. So if China, let's say, produces about 80 million ounces, I think I'm being generous, they're probably importing 100 to 120 million ounces per year. So it's more than their entire domestic output.
Yes, actually probably producing on those numbers circa 40% of their actual requirements.
So, exactly.
So, Peter, silver has a very volatile price history. We know that. There's been the famous effort by the brothers to corner the market. How high has it got, and what relevance is that to where it might be going this time around?
So silver's been to $50 essentially twice. So the first time was in 1980. Second time was in 2011. That's when gold had its first really peak at $1,900, or actually silver peaked a little bit before that. Silver peaked in April of 2011, and gold peaked, I believe, was August or September of 2011. So, you know, that's, if you look on a relative basis, that's certainly quite high. I think that silver's price is going to be explosive in this cycle. It's something that most investors probably don't even realize about silver, that it often lags gold, and that's at the start of a bull market, but then it tends to catch up, and it has proven itself historically, time and time again in bull markets, it surpasses gold. I think silver ultimately will peak, and this is my personal forecast. Some people think it's sensational, but I have reasons and ways I've gotten there that I think are pretty reasonable. I think silver will actually ultimately peak at somewhere around $300 US. And as I say, I know that that sounds kind of sensational. That's more than more than 10 times where it is now. I am talking about some kind of a mania phase when it would ultimately peak. But, you mentioned my book at the outset, The Great Silver Bull. In there, I talk about that target, that ultimate target of $300 silver. And I go into multiple ways, multiple indicators that, for me, have all pointed to that general price target.
Now, I take it from what you've just told us, Peter, that demand coming from solar panels will be a key driver of that explosive growth. What about on the supply side of the equation, Peter? What's contributing to that explosion there?
So supply really is very, very much challenged. There's been some very interesting research by Bank of America. They released recently did a survey of the world's largest, 13 largest primary silver miners. And the feedback that they got was they all saw mining output of silver actually stagnate and be pretty much flat over the next several years, which is almost shocking when you think of the kind of demand that we've seen, the demand growth. It's just been tremendous. And in particular from solar. So they see a shortage over the next several years. Silver was another bit of research by Bank of America, looked at all of the sort of major transition metals, and they saw that silver was actually going to be the metal. If you look out to 2030, it was going to be the metal with the largest potential deficit. They estimated up to 120% of current levels of silver could actually be in deficit within the next 10 years or so. So, and there was another very interesting study. This is out of the University of New South Wales. They said solar could actually, given its growth rate, could actually consume up to 98% of all of our silver reserves by 2050. So I think that, this is something that the market is not really grasping. And I often get the question, how is it that If there's so much demand, and we've actually been in structural deficits in the silver market for the last 3 years, forecast by the Silver Institute is that we're going to see deficits again continue for the next several years. And I keep getting the question, why has the silver price looked like it's been capped almost, that it's had this sort of overhead resistance? If there's so much demand, we're in a deficit, why is the silver price not running? So I actually went and I had this sense of what I thought the answer might be, but I went and did some research and I said to myself, if you look at the silver supply dynamic, you really got three areas or three ways that you can get at silver. There's mine supply, which is about 80% of annual supply. You've got recycling, contributes 15-ish to 20% of annual supply. And then you've got these secondary supplies. And these are normally not consumed. They sit on the futures exchanges. They also sit in private holdings of silver because people buy silver as an investment. We're talking about coins and bars, that kind of thing. So I was asking myself, too, how is the silver price not running for the last 2 or 3 years if we're running deficits? And if you look at the inventories at these major futures exchanges and in the silver ETFs, so I'm talking about the LBMA in London, talking about the COMEX in the US, talking about the Shanghai Futures Exchange. These all hold hundreds of millions of ounces of silver, the ETFs as well, globally. And in the last 3 to 4 years, overall, their inventories have fallen 30 to 40%. If you look at what we call registered inventories within the futures exchanges, those registered inventories are the actual inventories that are available for delivery if someone wants physical silver from there. Those are down 70%. If you look at the silver ETFs globally, their inventories are down 30 to 40% in the last 3 years. So my thesis was you've got large industrial buyers not able to get sufficient silver from mining or recycling. They're going to the futures markets to the ETFs. They're buying long contracts, long futures contracts, and they're standing for delivery when those contracts mature. They're buying physical silver ETFs, and they're turning their units in for the physical silver, taking delivery there as well. Now, I know I've gone on for a little while, but there's one more really interesting point that I want to make. My sense was that given how much these inventories have been depleted, I figured we're looking at probably somewhere around 12 to 24 months before there is no more silver in on these exchanges. And sure enough, there was a report just recently by TD Bank that essentially made the same case. They saw, given the rate of growth, especially from solar and other, of course, other energy transition applications, and beyond that, not to mention investment, that we are looking at a 12 to 24 month window before these kinds of secondary supplies are fully depleted.
So the inventories, in a nutshell, Peter, the inventories have been running down. That explains why the price hasn't reacted in any great way thus far. The inventories are plugging the shortfall between supply, mine supply, and overall demand. But these inventories, these stockpiles, as you say, are running down, and they've obviously got limited life left in them. And therefore, as they start to get to the end of the run there, the price will take off because the inventories can no longer assist supply. That's the equation we're staring at. And you estimate 12 to 24 months, these inventories will be basically extinguished, and it'll set the scene for a skyrocketing price.
Exactly. And I think that what we've seen in the last sort of month, 2 months, in terms of the run-up in the silver price, I think that the smart money is starting to sense that this is coming. I'm calling it silver squeeze 2.0. We had a squeeze in early 2022, actually. Early 2021, we had a silver squeeze that was, in my view, not sustained. That's how it turned out, that it was not sustainable. It was just sort of a mean type of squeeze, something like GameStop and AMC, these high-flying stocks that people got into very quickly. There was a call to do the same with silver, to try and squeeze out silver shorts. In any case, that didn't last. That's what I told my subscribers. I said, I don't think this is going to last. It's not a fundamental shift in the supply-demand dynamic, and it did not last. But I think that we are heading for a true squeeze this time around. And as I say, I think the market's sensing that. We're at about $28 now. I thought a couple of months ago we wouldn't see that until some point in Q2 this year. We're just 10 days or so into the second quarter, early April. We're already at $28. I think we're going to see very likely $30 in the second half of this year, maybe even up to mid-30s, say $35 or so potentially.
Now, given that South America accounts for such a significant share of total mine supply, Peter, and we know that there are constantly reports coming out of the various South American countries about growing industrial agitation, for the want of a better word. We know that there is far more environmentally conscious, a lot like we've seen in America and Australia. So there is a pushback on those fronts. In some cases, there's even calls for nationalisation of some of these mining assets in South America. Are those forces, if you want to put them in those three categories, industrial agitation, environmental pushback, calls for nationalisation, are they going to contribute to limiting supply out of what is such a pivotal region for silver?
I think it's certainly a big risk. I think that's also not being properly priced in. I've been asked about that before, and I think that the bias is much, much more on the, if we're talking about potential shocks in the silver industry and the silver market, shocks, the odds of a shock being to supply versus to being in a negative way, rather than being in a positive way in terms of some sort of new access to supply, is much, much weighed towards a restriction of supply. And I agree with that completely. There are all sorts of black swans flying around. We never know when one of them is going to land on some kind of a silver company or silver project, you know, affecting the supply in a dramatic way. One of the really, really good and recent parallels or analogs is what happened in Panama. You had a copper mine shut down. There were environmental protests. And you've got a couple of companies that are dramatically affected by it. One is the company itself, and another that has a large royalty on that property. And so both of those companies have seen their stock affected pretty dramatically. In the case of the royalty company, it was 20% of their income. So from one day to the next, that dried up. So yes, absolutely, we have all kinds of examples where we've seen this happen. It's going to continue to happen. It's unfortunate, you know, we need more silver than ever, and yet supply is not only restricted, but at risk more than ever.
Now, Peter, we know that black swans can also invade the demand side of the equation. What's the risk of substitution in solar panels?
So from what I've seen, the research I've looked at, it's very low. Silver is what I like to call a wonder metal. In my book, I call it the Swiss Army knife of metals. It really has multiple purposes. It's the only metal that I'd call a hybrid, where it's unique in that sense. It's both money and industrial. There's no other metal that really could say that. And I mean, if you look at how it's used, as I say, it's the best heat conductor, it's the best electrical conductor. That makes it absolutely perfect for solar panels. There have been other metals that have been explored. Copper is one, for example, obviously a lot cheaper than silver per pound, per ounce, whatever you may measure it. But copper has issues. Copper is more likely to corrode. It's not nearly as good. It's good, but it's not nearly as good as an electrical conductor. So I don't think that silver is going to be challenged for some time. As we use silver, the manufacturers, the technology is certainly growing and improving quickly. They're finding ways to do things like have multiple layers in solar panels. They're making them more efficient. They're looking at what they call bifacial solar panels. So these panels actually can absorb light from both sides. There really are multiple ways, as they say, all kinds of improvements are coming. And yet the growth of solar is so dramatic. The International Energy Agency has said that by 2027, they already forecast that solar will become the world's single largest source of electricity. And at that point, it will have surpassed natural gas and coal, making it the absolute dominating power for electricity. And costs are coming down. So despite or perhaps because of so much demand, part of it, of course, has been subsidized. We're looking to try to produce energy as cleanly as we can. Solar certainly qualifies for that. But there is just so much growth in solar production and solar demand that, again, you know, with the technology and the efficiency of silver, I do not see it being unseated as the most important metal to produce solar panels.
Peter, look, your outline of the supply and demand fundamentals has been fascinating. Thanks very much for the chat. I can see that your thesis basically suggests that we're on the cusp of one of the great explosions, if not the greatest, we've seen in the silver market. We know silver can really be volatile, and that means it can really spike. You've got almost a perfect storm coming for investors, if you like, between the supply side of the equation, the various restrictions that we've just discussed, on the demand side with solar. It does sound like there's an enormous opportunity here for investors. Perhaps, obviously, the smart money will be getting set now. Over the next 12 months or so, we'll see it come to the front. But, of course, markets like to move ahead of commodity prices. So on that basis, we're probably already starting to see a bit of positioning among the cleverer and more bullish types. Peter, thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to maybe revisiting this conversation in say 6 months' time, and we see what's come to pass.
Paul, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity to provide some insights.
Thank you, Peter.
Not at all. Pleasure. Take care. Cheers.
You've been listening to The Whole Truth, a Resources Rising Stars podcast produced by Resource Media, hosted by Paul Armstrong for Reed Corporate. Please note that Reed Corporate does not provide investment advice, and investors should seek personalised advice before making any investment decisions.